Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. Our study of the book of Obadiah has gotten us into the very challenging controversy between man's responsibility and God's sovereignty, or to put it another way, man's freedom and God's sovereign control, or to put it another way, man's free will and God's free will. And by the way, when you put it that way, if man's free will bumps up against God's free will, whose will ought to prevail, man or God's? You maybe have never thought about it that way, but that's another way to look at it. But anyway, our study in the book of Obadiah has brought us to these questions and to this controversy, and I've been taking my time trying to explain it carefully and slowly because I know how difficult this is for many people, because I remember how difficult it was for me many years ago, and it took me a lot of wrestling and searching and studying and praying and starting down a dead-end road and having to back up and to go down another road until I came to terms with what the Bible taught all along. And I don't know why it took me so long to see it, but it did. It took me quite a while. And if it took me quite a while, I have to assume that it will take others quite a while. And because I did come to a comfortable and rejoicing understanding of this issue, as we find it in Romans chapter 9 and other places, then I'm hopeful that maybe if I will take the time to try to explain how, well, maybe not how I came to this understanding, but what understanding I have come to, that it might be helpful to other people as well. And so, to that end, we will open our Bibles again to Romans chapter 9 on this Monday, June 15. Thankful that you can join us, and thankful for those whose financial gifts support us. It's the only way we can continue teaching on this station. Now, how did we get here from Obadiah? Well, remember, Obadiah is about Jacob and Esau, and their two nations, Israel and Edom. And that gets us into this whole question of the sovereignty of God's grace. And for that, we turn to Romans chapter 9. And so I will read once again verses 11 through 16, the verses we have covered so far in this chapter. For the children, speaking of Jacob and Esau, the twins, for the children, not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him who calls, it was said to her, that is Rebekah, the mother of these boys, it was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. Now, I just read that, but I'm going to make a couple of comments before we move on. And back to verse 14, it raises this question, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? And that is a question that comes to many people's minds, that if it is true that God is sovereign and chooses certain people for salvation and passes others by, which is what this passage is teaching us, that if that is true, that that's not righteous, that's not just, that's not fair. But this says no. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? And the answer is no, but not just a little no, certainly not. Your translation might say, God forbid. It's very emphatic. God forbid that you should say that. God forbid that you should think that way. If you think that way, there's something absolutely wrong with your thinking. But what's wrong with your thinking is not that you misunderstood what this is saying. The fact that you raised the question of righteousness with God shows that you do understand what this is saying. So the solution is not to say, well, because that obviously isn't righteous, then that can't be what it's really saying. No. You've got it backwards. This is what it's saying, but it's obvious that God behaving in such a fashion is not unrighteous, because God is God, and he has the right to do that. He has the right to do what he wills with his own creation. So, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, you might be looking for a different explanation here. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. And then you might think, well, he's going to come back and explain why what it sounds like it's saying in the verses we just read is not really what it's saying. Certainly not. There's no unrighteousness with God. And if it sounds to you like it is, then you misunderstood. It's not saying here that God exercises his sovereign will in these matters. That's not it. But no. That's not what this says. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, and he comes back right emphatically and says, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. If you think that means there's unrighteousness with God, you're wrong. Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. But Paul, the apostle, who's the inspired author, who's writing these words, and they are actually the words, of course, of God, he's not backing up on what he's just said. He's not saying, oh, I'm sorry, did that offend you? Well, let me explain it away, that this is not really what God has done. No, he comes right back and doubles down on it. What's the answer? The answer is that this is the way God is, and it's his nature, it's his character, and it is his right. It is his right. He says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then, the conclusion of all this is, it is not of him who wills. Those who hang everything on the will of man, the free will of man, are running into problems with this text. So then, it is not of him who wills. That's pretty clear. Nor of him who runs. Those who place it upon man's performance have got a problem with this text. So then, it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. What makes the difference? Not man's performance. It's not of man who runs. What makes the difference? Not man's will. What makes the difference? God, a sovereign God. It is God who shows mercy, where and when and upon whom he chooses to show mercy. I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. Now, this still leaves a lot of people struggling with how then does this fit in with man's will, and I've already tried to explain that on two broadcasts last week, Thursday and Friday. So rather than going through that explanation again, I'm going to read you the words of a song that I first heard sung in church when I was a grade school boy. It's called the Hornet Song. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to read the words. But here's what it says. When the Canaanites hardened their hearts against God and grieved him because of their sin, God sent along hornets to bring them to terms and to help his own people to win. A nest of live hornets were brought. If a nest of live hornets were brought to this room and the creatures allowed to go free, you would not need urging to make yourself scarce. You'd want to get out, don't you see? They could not lay hold and by force of their strength throw you out of the window. Oh, no. They could not compel you to go against your will, but they would just make you willing to go. Get the idea? The presence of the hornets is going to affect the decision you make. You, of your own free will, decide to go, but it's because of the hornets that came in. And then the chorus says, God does not compel us to go. Oh, no, he never compels us to go. God does not compel us to go against our will, but he just makes us willing to go. There's a second stanza. When Jonah was sent to the work of the Lord, the outlook was not very bright. He never had done such a hard thing before, so he backed off and ran from the fight. Now the Lord sent a great fish to swallow him up. The story I'm sure you all know. God did not compel him to go against his will, but he just made him willing to go. God does not compel us to go. Oh no, he never compels us to go. God does not compel us to go against our will, but he just makes us willing to go. That explains the relationship between the sovereignty of God and the will, or if you want to call it, the free will of man. God has a way of changing our wills, but he doesn't send a whale to everybody. He did to Jonah. God has a way of changing our wills, changing the choices we make, changing what we desire to do. But he doesn't send hornets to everybody. But God will operate in such a way that our will that formerly was going in one direction will now go in a different one. We chose to stay in that comfortable room until God sent the hornets in. And then, of our own free will, we decided we'd rather be someplace else. Jonah, of his own free will, was going to go to Joppa, was going to go to Tarsus, get as far away from Nineveh as he could. But God sent the whale and changed Jonah's will, changed Jonah's desire, and Jonah exercised his free will in the opposite direction that he previously planned to exercise it. God changed his circumstances and thereby his desire, and that made the difference in his choice. That explains it. That's not the perfect explanation in every detail, but that helps explain it pretty well. When God decides to show compassion or mercy, he just does whatever needs to be done in man's heart and life to change his desires so that of his own free will, he now makes a choice for God rather than against him. That's the explanation. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.